Okay, we're here with the winner of today's 36th annual Hisense 4K TV 300, and he is the driver of the number 12 Snap-on Ford for Team Penske, Ryan Blaney. Ryan, this is your fifth win in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. The trophy you're taking home can match your father, Dave Blaney, who took one home in 2006 here. You become the first father-son duo to win an Xfinity Series race at Charlotte, and the sixth overall. Pretty good list, joining Dale Earnhardt and Dale Earnhardt Jr., Bill Elliott and Chase Elliott, Bobby Hamilton and Bobby Hamilton Jr., Taylor Labonte and Justin Labonte, and David Pearson and Larry Pearson. So a pretty heady group right there. Ryan, maybe talk about that and that final restart there where you overtook Kevin.
Yeah, I didn't know that. That's pretty cool. And my dad had back then it wasn't the Xfinity Series in 06, but that was pretty neat to, for him to win here. I remember watching that race, and that was a heck of a race, and I hope this was a great race to watch. It was fun to be a part of. We had a really awesome race car all day, having to start in the back, and to be fourth by that first segment in was pretty impressive. I thought our car was really good at the time. We made it a little bit better when we got the lead there and was able to kind of control the race that we wanted to, and we lost the lead there on the last pit stop. I thought we had a good pit stop. I just kind of got boxed in. I didn't really angle out very well, and that was on me. But luckily, we were able to get back on the front row and give us a shot. It was so hard starting third, and when you only have a couple laps to try to get to the front row, that was really tough. And I thought we were going to run out of laps to try to make it happen. And we were getting really good restarts all day. Once we finally got the pace picked up like it should be, and we were able to shove Kevin in front there. And get to second, and just gave us a shot, an opportunity to get by him at the end there on the last restart. So, props to everybody at the Penske Group. It's been a lot of fun to, be a part of it over the past 4 years and watch it improve and develop. And to be honest with you, the program, that Xfinity program, wasn't where it should be this past year, and they've put so much hard work into it in the off season and. I think we finished second three times now, and it was nice to finally break through and get back to victory lane with those guys. So they deserve it. They worked their butts off, and it's definitely cool to win at a track my father did. It's pretty cool.
Thank you, Ryan. We'll open it up to questions. We'll start right here. We'll start right here and then go over there. That's fine. Al first. Bob.
Go ahead. Al. Me or somebody else?
You, sir.
Oh, okay. Ronnie Al Pearson, Auto Week. Do you remember the first time you ran a race with a lot of Cup drivers in it and how much you learned that day that helped you get along? I'm thinking particularly Christopher Bell finished fourth. The Cup guys were 1 through 6 except for him. Do you remember the first time you had a really good run against a lot of really good guys and how that helped you later on?
Yeah, I remember my first Xfinity start in 2012. We were with Tommy Baldwin's team, and we ran really good that race. We ran up towards the front all race, and there was a bunch of Cup guys in that, and I got to race with a handful of them that whole race. But I want to say my first time running with a bunch of Cup guys competitively the whole race was the November race at Texas in 2012 when I just got signed with the Penske Group. Kyle Busch was in that race. Harvick was in it. I was in the 22 car at the time, and there was a handful of others. I think Case Kane was in it, and I raced with Kevin and Kyle really all race, and that was pretty cool for me to learn off of them. And even in all the truck stuff, I personally enjoy it. When I was a trucker, when I was a truck regular, when they would come down and race those, compete in those races, just because you learn so much from them, whether it's restarts, long run stuff, moving around the racetrack, and utilizing air, that just teaches you so much. And I didn't get a race around Christopher very much today, but seemed like he did a really good job. I saw he got turned earlier, which wasn't his fault, but I hope it was pretty impressive for him to run up front and run as good as he did and finish that well. But I loved when I was just getting started to run with the Cup guys. You just learn so much from watching them and their little things that they do.
Hi, Ryan. Congratulations on the big win today. Hill Overton, WIXC Radio. Even though you're in a lighter, different type of car today, and you were in different track conditions than you're going to see tomorrow evening and tomorrow night. What did you learn today that you can apply to that 21 car tomorrow?
I thought we learned a good bit. You know, it probably won't be as warm, even at the start of our race, that it was right there, but it got shaded a little bit towards, in some parts of that race, and definitely towards the end. We were able to kind of figure out what our car was going to do. So there's always things you can apply, and I was pretty proud to see the middle and top lane kind of come in a little bit. That was promising. I didn't run much of it. I ran the middle of one and two most of the day. But I saw some of the guys running the top of both ends. Hopefully we'll be able to run up there tomorrow in our cup cars and widen it out. But, you know, we'll think about it tonight, and in our meeting tomorrow morning we'll make changes. And a lot of it will be based on not only how the car's driving, how this Xfinity car drove, but the changes we made of what did, you know, certain things. We look at that as much as, you know, how the racetrack was or how the car was driving, just trying to figure out some changes and see if it'll help out on that side in similar situations.
Bob Pockris, ESPN. Did you not try the high side because you didn't want to see whether there was grip up there because with the stuff they added, or is it just because where your car was better? And do you think they should add more of that stuff for tomorrow?
Our car was so good in the middle. I ventured up there a little bit at the end of that second segment. We were out front, and we were able to kind of play around, but I was never really confident in it. I was kind of loose, so I really just didn't want to go up there and make a mistake and smack the fence. So it's just my car was running so good in the middle, one and two, I just stuck there. So I don't have a huge feel for what that stuff is. I'm sure, you know, I saw Harvick run up there a good bit. He might be able to give you a better judge of it, but it wouldn't hurt my feelings to maybe see a little bit more applied. The bad thing is, what I've noticed rolling around slow is everyone runs the bottom, middle. And all the marbles and everything goes up in that substance and sticks to it because it's so tacky up there. And then it's hard to get it cleaned off. So I don't know what we have to do to try to help that out for tomorrow. But I don't think it'd be a bad thing to apply a little bit more. I don't think that'd be bad.
Ryan, Steve Reed from the Associated Press. You talk about the mentality it takes. I mean, when you end up having to start at the back of the field and the patience you have to get back to the front.
Yeah, it's a lot. I have a lot better patience than what I did a couple of years ago. And you learn that as you run a little bit more in NASCAR and all these series. When you have to start in the back or something goes wrong and you lose 5 or 10 spots, it's just the patience aspect of it. We were super, super patient working our way up through the field, starting back. And, you know, it helps out when you have a really good car. You know you can be patient. And you don't have to worry about the leader coming or something like that. And you have to push hard. But, you know, when you have a great car like that, you don't want to make a mistake when you're trying to come up through the field of hurting it or damaging it. That's the last thing you want to do. So that's definitely come a long way in the past couple of years from where I used to be. And that's, A, from getting a stern talking to for the most part, and B, trying to tell myself to be more patient. So,
Jacob.
Jacob Seelman, Performance Motorsports Network. Two questions, Ryan. First, all right, we'll try that again. First, obviously special with you joining your dad as an Xfinity winner at Charlotte today, but this month and this particular weekend is also special to your car owner, who I know is getting ready for the Indy 500 tomorrow. What's it mean to be able to give Roger a win on Memorial Day weekend where he's had so much success in past years?
Well, it means a ton. You know, anytime you can win for Mr. Penske is huge. That's super special to me. You know, he's given me really my opportunity, pretty much. You know, it was a combination between Brad's truck team and Mr. Penske giving me a shot in 2012, and I've been really lucky to be able to drive great race cars for him. So you want to do the best job you can for him, especially, you know, on this weekend where he has the Indy 500. It's such a huge race for them, and he's been so dominant in that race. And to deliver for him early, hopefully that'll put him in a good mood for tomorrow and, you know, get those guys going.
And as far as the final restart, you versus Kevin, and even going back a little ways, when you got shuffled back with being boxed in on pit road, Brian, when he was in here earlier, said it was all about the communication between you two. What did you have to do in your head to stay focused and just not let that get to you working your way back through?
Well, it comes back to the patience thing. You know, and just trying to keep a calm head. I was pretty upset when we got, you know, at myself when I didn't get into my box very well and didn't angle out. We knew the 39 was going to come in, so it's not his fault. He has to come in, and I just didn't do a great job of getting angled out. And I was mad at myself for a second, but something nowadays is I forget things pretty easy. I think in the past, when you're younger, you dwell over them a lot more and just think about that. When now you have to move forward and figure out, okay, how am I going to get back to the front, or at least the front row to give ourselves a shot? And that's was part of my plan of trying to work with Kevin. And we were able to get a good restart and get to the front row, and then, you know, eventually the last restart. But my plan personally went pretty good, surprisingly. Plans really don't ever go your way. I think the second to last restart, when we were third and Kevin got the lead and we got the second, that worked out pretty well for us. I was surprised that went our way. And like I said, then the last one, just I figured if we could at least slow them up a little bit off of two, we had them. The middle of three and four was iffy on restarts, and if we had position just by a nose into three, I thought we could clear them, and fortunately we were able to do that.
Greg. Oh, hi. Hi, Greg Ingelotta Week. Pretty simple. We didn't see you do like a big, huge, smoky burnout afterwards. Was that intentional? I mean, usually, you know, when you've won, especially something, you know, of course, anyone's special, but, you know, I just kind of expected this big burnout. I didn't see that. I just wondered if something wrong with the car. Did the team say, hey, hold up, or is it inspection things, or what's going on?
You know, everyone nowadays, they go down and do big smoky burnouts and tear the race cars up and burn the rear tires off of them and blow them out and ruin the motor. And back in the day, they didn't do that. They just kind of rode down front stretch and turned around and waved to the fans and got the checkered flag and went to victory lane. They'd even pick up a couple crew members on the way. I couldn't find any of my crew members, or else I would have picked them up. But that's how they used to do it. I think, personally, to me, that is cooler than doing a big smoky burnout and tearing up your race car and hurting the motor. So that was, you know, kind of pre-planned. So.
And we'll wrap it up with Mike.
Mike Neff from frontstretch.com. We know you guys always tell us that you don't really know who's in the cars around you and you're focused on what you're doing. But we all know that you're tight with Bubba, and you two had a pretty good duel there for a while at the front.
Yeah, get him a sponsor, man. He passed me on a restart and drove away from me, and that was awesome. And so I interrupted you. Go ahead.
Oh, you're good.
But I was pumped for him.
Does that add a little incentive to you when you look over and you see it's that six car next to you?
You know, not really. I just try to, you stay in the competitive zone no matter who's in what car. But that was pretty cool, man. He got to second there, and I restarted on the top, and I was able to clear everybody on the top. I cleared Denny, and I cleared Kevin on the top, and he drove right up beside me on the bottom through one and two. I was like, wow, that surprised me, and then he cleared me. And then we raced him pretty hard after that, and I had a good run going. I hate to see what happened to him. I guess he cut a tire or something, but he ran awesome. He's been doing a great job in that car, and I hope, you know, someone will step up and give him the shot he deserves. He works really hard and is a great race car driver. And I'm not just saying that because he's a good friend of mine. I'm personally saying that because I think he is one hell of a race car driver and does a great job at everything else. So that was pretty fun to race with him a good bit. But, yeah, it was maybe it puts a little bit more competitive edge on it when it's your buddy and it's another younger person you want to beat. But it doesn't change too much. No, we don't humble brag or anything like that. You know, you support each other the best you can, and that's what this sport is all about, support and not putting anybody down. And you know, like I said, he did a great job. He came to victory lane. That was really cool of him, and that shows you what kind of guy he is.
We'll take one last question from the press box, and we need to let Ryan go.
Monty Dutton, JeffPhillips.com. Ryan, I know your father to have a good sense of humor, and I was just wondering, when he talks to you, does he tell you why you've got more talent than I ever thought about, or does he tell you, if I had your chance, there'd have been no stopping me, or what does he tell you?
He never, to me, personally, he's the best race car driver ever, and that's how I've always looked at him, that's how I've always thought of him. Not only as my father, but the way he drives cars, and not only his driving ability, but his mindset towards things. I think he's one of the smartest people that I know personally. in the race car, outside the race car, building parts, coming up with inventions and ideas. You know, he always just supports me, and it was cool to have him here today. That's really special to me to have him at the racetrack, you know, through the good and bad times of getting, you know, a stern talking to or, you know, helpful support, and it's usually support. And, you know, I've been lucky to have somebody like that to help me through these weekends to try to get myself better, whether it's restarts or long runs or just, you know, communication. He's been the best person. So in my mind, I'll never be half the race car driver he is personally. I think he's the greatest one ever, and that's how I'll always think of him.
Well, thank you, Ryan. Appreciate the time. Congratulations on the race, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks.